And everybody said?
Amen.
That certainly ought to be our prayer when we think about this nation and the aspects of what is happening, going on, and how we need God's blessings today. You know what one flag said to another flag? Nothing. Not anything. They just waved. It's amazing, isn't that the dishonor that's coming on our flag today and what it represents? It really is. You know why they don't have any knock-knock jokes about America? Because freedom rings. Knock-knock, ring the bell. Get it? Freedom rings. And there's a ring to that word freedom, isn't there? There's a word that you and I love, and that word is freedom. Now, don't take this in disrespect, but if you took George Washington and crossed him with cattle feed, you know what you would get? The father of our nation. They did a survey, Fox News. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but there, I believe it was in New York City. And they went down asking people who the first president, who was the father of our nation. 80% of them couldn't tell them. Isn't that amazing? That we are losing touch with history, with our past. And somebody has said, you know, if you forget the past, you're destined to repeat it. And there's a lot of truth in that. You know, when the pilgrims came to America in 1620, coming to this newfound land, the world that you and I are a part of today, they came here seeking religious freedom. They came here to be free from tyranny, that they could express their faith and worship God. That's why they came here. Well, what's interesting, it was 156 years later, in 1776, that 56 men gathered in Philadelphia to gather there for one purpose, and that was to write a declaration that would ultimately set us free as a people from England and from that tyranny. We call it the Declaration of Independence. And it states, we hold these truths. Isn't that amazing? They believed there was something true. Have you noticed that we live in a time of relativity? There is no truth today. That everything's gray. There's no black, white. That truth is relative to what you think, what you believe. That there is no fundamental foundation of truth. Well, these men didn't believe that. They believed that these truths of what they were going to express in this declaration were true. They believed it with all their hearts. In fact, they believed it so much they were willing to die for what they believed in. They said it's self-evident. They said there should be no question in anybody's mind about this, that all men are created equal by God. The Creator. Amazing. They did believe in God, and they believed that He was the Creator of the world. And that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And that right was, again, to pursue life and liberty, freedom, and the aspects of happiness. So that's our Declaration of Independence. We have it. It's there. Then we think about what is happening in our country today. I doubt very many people know what the Constitution of the United States says, what it guarantees the rights to be, or have they really, 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 from their hearts, read this declaration that these men shed their blood for, their families, everything. Why? So you could sit here today in this auditorium in freedom to worship. Freedom to worship. Did you hear about the young boy that was born free? His father was a doctor. Thank you very much. Freedom isn't free. I said freedom isn't free. Freedom costs. It costs. Freedom is a key biblical principle that you and I read about in Scripture. And we find that they're not only dealing with the spiritual aspects of man, but his social needs as well. And the ramification of this salvation that has come to us in Christ. Somebody paid a price for that. Somebody paid a price. My Savior paid a price by dying on the cross to set us free. But I also believe that there were 12 men that committed themselves and were willing to die for him. And those apostles gave their lives in order for you and I to be able to have received this message of freedom. This is our Declaration of Independence. And our Statue of Liberty is the cross. And we worship the cross. Paul said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message of this book. That God so loved you and me, that Jesus came into the world. He came into the world and he brought and came to bring freedom to the world. God's word portrays freedom in a complex and a multifactorial way. If you read the book, you'll find it talks about political freedom. It talks about freedom from slavery. It talks about freedom from oaths and obligation. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from punishment. Freedom from sin, freedom from destructive habits, freedom from the law, freedom from fear and worry and anxiety. It is a message of freedom. And it affects every little ramification of your life, whatever it might be. Now, many of those categories maybe do overlap in some way, but together they give us an concept, I believe, a concept of God's concept of freedom. Not man's, God's. Israel, if you know, and you do know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, their political freedom, as it was, did not come as a form of democracy. Their freedom was based on the fact that Israel was under the authority and the rulership of God. God was their king. No man ruled over Israel. They submitted and had a covenant relationship with God, and he alone was that which governed over them. That's called a theocracy. This book teaches a theocracy, that men submit themselves to the rulership of God and make him the Lord, King, and ruler of their lives through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that we are indeed subject to him. You see, Israel's freedom was not dependent on any human being. It was just exactly the opposite. And the aspect, of course, is her gift of freedom came because she was completely dependent on God for every aspect of her provision. He was her divine king. Our political freedom, as I understand it and studying it as I have, is based on the fact that these men, as our dollar bills and ours says, in God we trust. They formulated a concept that we needed still as a nation. No matter how we formulated ourselves, that we would be a nation that would put our total trust in God. They believed that. And the freedom we enjoy, I believe this morning, is a gift from God. It is a gift. And we need to thank him. You need to be thankful to God today that you can be here, sitting here without fear. You ought to thank him for that. And certainly ought to thank all of those who paid the price to make this possible. Hundreds and thousands of people have died on foreign fields and right here on our own homeland and paid a price for our political realm of freedom. People, if you know what we are, you know that we are not a democracy. We are a republic. As a republic, we're governed by law. That law is the Constitution of the United States. And so we are, if you will, a republic. And no one is and has the authority to rule over us. We're all submitted to the headship of Jesus Christ, who has and is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. And our fellowship as God's people will come in direct relationship to how much you are willing to submit your will to His authority. And our relationship, our fellowship is based only on the fact that you, with one heart, one mind, one soul, exalt Him and make Him the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. If you don't do it now, I guarantee you there will a day come when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Aren't you glad you've already done that? Aren't you glad you have submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, and what has come as a result of that is your freedom. Your freedom. We're going to consider the gift of freedom we have been blessed with. We talk about a godly heritage that has been handed down to us. I know it's being attacked today from every area. There is a college in Michigan called Hillsdale College that has made a complete commitment to trying to educate us in understanding this heritage that we receive through the Constitution in the United States. They have classes online where you can go and learn what it all and what it states and what it gives to you and what is offered to you, and if you will, by the blood of those men and by the blood of so many others. The vast majority of the men who wrote that Constitution and signed that Constitution were believers. Whether they were totally committed, obedient believers, I don't know. But I do know this. Most of them believed in God. They believed in God. And this country was founded on biblical principles that I can't read it any other way. The concept of what they produced in that Constitution and that Declaration has no other thing but the divine writing of the knowledge and the will of God and His principles that are laid out in this book. Fairness, opportunity, the government of law that dictates the court system. Everything that I read came from this book. It came from the book. Thomas Jefferson states, God gave us life and liberty. Can that liberty be secure when we remove from the people the conviction that these liberties are a gift from God? Isn't that amazing? When we forget and we take from our hearts the conviction that the gifts of freedom was a gift from God. That's what they believed. I don't know what you believe, but that's what they believed. Okay? How about our natural resources that we've been blessed with as a nation? You understand what this country has that many other countries don't have as natural resources, as far as the aspect of how God has blessed us in this land that you and I live in today. Minerals, ore, oil, forests, lakes, pastures, farmland, and more than we as a nation need, and that we're able to help other nations and feed other people and do all kinds of good things to nation after nation after nation. And if you studied history, I don't know where some of those nations would be today if we hadn't poured tons and tons of grain and food and help and whatever into their land. And somebody said, when America ceases to be good, America will cease. There's no question that we have been good. And God has blessed this nation to be good. And the things that we have shared, and all that is yours. You share it every day of your life, don't you? You share it every day of your life. You really do. All those blessings. How about our economy? You ever heard of the free enterprise system? The free enterprise system that characterizes America? It's unbelievable. It benefits all of us. It really does. We excel in innovation because we have allowed individuals to have the freedom to dream, to imagine, to have a passion, and to reach for it. There is no other nation like this one that has allowed them, and then the freedom. And every time you and I cast a vote, you're nothing more than putting your name or your X or whatever on the aspect of your freedom. Because a lot of nations don't have the privilege of voting. They don't. Now think of the millions in Iran and other parts of the world today that are living in that kind of tyranny. Their freedom and the freedom and the gift of what you and I enjoy, I believe, is a gift from God. But far beyond that is the gift of freedom that you and I have come to know as being obedient believers in Christ. I put the word obedient believers. Paul emphasized in Romans chapter 1 the obedience of faith. Chapter 16, he emphasizes the obedience of faith. Faith without word, faith without obedience is dead. You can believe all you want to believe. The devils believe and they tremble. But they certainly have no hope. Those people who really have experienced the freedom of Jesus Christ and the cross are those people who have obeyed the gospel. They've obeyed the gospel in every aspect of what it has been commanded to us. And the freedom that has come as a result of that. But as you and I remember in our text, in the point of issue, as it says there, and the point is that, okay, guess it always is a point. All right, the point is, it says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know what? And the truth will make you free. And they answered, we're Abraham's descendants. We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we or you will become slaves? And Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus went on and said, truly I say to you, anyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son does. Okay? Freedom. That's what the cross dictates. That is what it offers to us. But there are hundreds and thousands of people living in this free country that are enslaved. They are not free. And freedom isn't what you and I have on the outside. Freedom is what God has offered to you and me in the inside. And you are never free until you're free on the inside. Free from what? Free from anger? Free from stress, worry, bitterness, unforgiveness, depression, anxiety, fear, greed, selfishness, jealousy, envy, hate, lying, alcoholism, drug abuse, sexual abuse. The list could go on. Jesus said, he who has sinned is a slave of it. Isn't that what he said? Thousands and millions of people are enslaved in our country today. They may be free walking down the streets, doing whatever they please, going wherever they please, traveling this weekend wherever they please, but if they're still in their sin, they are enslaved. They're enslaved. While a country experiences liberty on the battlefield and for the blood that has been shed, they can still be a country that is enslaved to their own sinful aspects of their lives. And they're not free. You see, Jesus came to give us that freedom. Freedom. Freedom that would set us free from sin. The aspects of all of that. The truth is, there's only one way, and you all agree with it, that man can be genuinely free. There's only one way that happened, and that is for them to know the truth. Jesus said, the truth is there, and you will know the truth, and the truth will indeed make you free. Free from what? Free from the slavery of sin. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of it. Okay? So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now in Galatians, Paul says in chapter 5, verse 1, this is an exhortation that all of us need to hear. It says clearly, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not become subject again to the yoke of slavery. You know how many people, in all my ministry of years, have told me, I can't stop doing this. You know how many people said that to me over the years? And yet, if I believe the gospel and the messages of this Bible through the power of Jesus Christ in the inner man, you can be set free. You can be set free. Because the aspects of that, again, is based on the fact that that's why he came. In Isaiah 4:18, Jesus, reading in the synagogue from the book of Isaiah, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed." And Jesus said, "I am the truth. The truth will make you free." So Jesus is the great liberator. And we can, and through him and through the power that he gives us and through the power of the Holy Spirit, there isn't a sin in your life that he can't help you to overcome. The declaration that comes through Romans chapter 8 is that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There isn't a thing you cannot conquer. He conquered it all. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. We can conquer. And Jesus made it emphatic. You will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. And Jesus' response to all of us is the same. I don't care what the message is. Countless people are still enslaved. Even Christians today, who give all kinds of excuse for why they can't quit this or quit that or do this, whatever, are closing their hearts and minds to what this book teaches. That Christ came into the world to crush Satan under your feet. He came into the world to conquer death on your behalf. He came into the world to empower you through the Holy Spirit and to set you free from the slavery of sin. That all started, according to Romans 6, where you were to have been crucified with him, where you were to have died with him, where you were to have been buried and planted with him, and that you rose out of the water, if you please, no longer you existing, but now Christ in you, the hope of glory, becoming godlike, the hope of glory, raised up to walk in the newness of life. Dead people can't and don't sin. Therefore, Paul said, "Consider yourselves then indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ your Lord." He went on to say, "To whomever you yield yourself, to that one you become a slave. If you yield yourself to the flesh, you become a slave of it. But if you yield yourself to righteousness, you will become a slave of that also." So my will is involved, isn't it? So is yours. Everyone's is. Who have I yielded myself to? Is Jesus indeed the Lord of my life? He came to set me free. Why in the world did he do that? Well, I believe all of us here this morning know we were created in the image of God. I believe Jesus came into the world to set us free so you could become godlike again. That you could come complete as a being, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, flesh, every aspect of your being could become again recreated by eternal God who made you in the first place. If we are his creation in Christ Jesus, then God has the power, if you will, to continue the process of transforming us into Christ-like people. We are his body, right? And if I understand the scriptures properly, he is at work in every one of us to accomplish his will and his purpose. And I believe one of the pure elements of his will is to make you whole again. That God can make you soul, mind, body, and spirit. He can make you whole again. Wow. I also believe he came into this world so that he could accomplish his purpose in each one of our individual life. You know, people live for their own reasons, for their own purpose. How much better is it for you and me who know the truth to have a higher purpose for why we live? I live to glorify God. I live to do his will. How about you? I believe the example in Jesus was he came not to glorify himself, but to glorify his Father and to do the will of his Father. And I believe that's what gives my life a meaning and a purpose, why I get up every day. I don't get up for Bill Horton. I get up for God. I raise because he gave me another day to live. For what purpose? to do His purpose, not mine. And I know what His purpose is. His purpose is that people will hear the Word, the gospel. And Jesus came to bring that gospel of salvation. And the word gospel in Isaiah comes from the word from a battlefield. The word from the battlefield, the good news, is that the victory has been won. It's been won. And we are more than conquerors through the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. We, the battle is won, people. The battle is the Lord's, it's not yours. You just submit to Him and allow Him to win the battle on the inside. Because there is the war, the flesh and the spirit. And only God can conquer the flesh. You know that, don't you? The Holy Spirit was given you to put to death the deeds of the body. Let Him do His work. Let Him do why He came to give and why He gave you that Spirit. Is so that you could be able to be empowered within your life to live a God-like life. And lastly, I believe He wants you to be free. And to be free indeed. Why? So that you and I could come here today and we can go and visit one another. We can go out and eat afterwards. We can do whatever. And we relate to one another on one proposition, on one foundation. I love you. And because I love you, there's no way in the world that I'm going to sin in any way that's going to disrupt or harm you. Love does no harm to one's brother or sister or neighbor. Love is the answer, people. And God sent His Spirit to fill us with His love so we could shed it abroad to one another. We're free to love. There's no law against it. There's nothing saying you cannot love and bear the fruit of love, is there? Then love! Love your husband, love your wife, love your children, love your neighbor, love people. That's what God wants. Go about and take that love and demonstrate it by doing good. Jesus went about doing good. Let your light shine before men, that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in. You're free to do that. You're free to do that. And give the glory to God. Give the glory to God. Remember when you became a Christian? Maybe they didn't sing it then for you, but I remember it. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Amen? Amen? I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. That's a great message of this book. That's the glorious freedom that I want to live in. That's the marvelous freedom that God has promised me and granted me. That's a freedom that anyone and every one of us can share and have today. Amen? It doesn't matter. With Rome controlled the world, and that was filled with sin and unbelievable godlessness, millions of people walked the world that time as Christians, experienced the freedom that is in Christ. It doesn't matter who governs us from the human side. What matters is who's governing us from the internal side. And if we make Jesus the Lord and the King of our lives, we will always experience freedom. The freedom that God has offered us in Christ. Amen? Be free. If you've got sins in your life you're struggling with, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let Him empower you. Submit it to Him. Confess it to Him. And let Him set you free from it. If you need to confess your sin to other Christians so they can pray for you that you might be healed, that's biblical. That's biblical. All confession does is turn the light on your darkness. Because if you're trying to hide those sins and keep them from becoming as it is exposed, then you just are subjecting yourself more to that slavery. That's what Proverbs says. We're here to help one another. I'm here to help you to make it to heaven. And I know this. Revelation says nothing unclean is going to enter there. No murder, no homemonger, no abominable, no liars. No, none. those who enter into that glorious realm that God's preparing for us were those who have lived and dressed themselves in white robes. And those white robes are a result of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. So are you washed? Have you been immersed into Christ where God promises to apply the blood to your sins and wash them away? So you can rise to walk in a new life covered with the blood of Christ. You see, that's what God sees. That's what He sees, is the blood of His Son that covers you. And that's how you're going to enter into His presence. And if you've never come to a point of putting your faith in that and being immersed into Christ, we certainly want to invite you to do so. We really do. And if you don't understand all that ramification, we're here to teach you. This book is the book of truth. And Jesus came to set you free. He came to set you free. God bless you. A few days from now, we're going to have the fourth. But you can get up on the fourth and you can honestly say, I am a free man. I'm a free woman in Christ. And you can celebrate your freedom that you will have for the rest of your life. Because you belong to Him and you belong to Him forever. Amen. So let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, if you will. And the aspects of it, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Cleanse me. Because that's what it's all about, is being set free from sin. Okay.